Oh, you get a chance to ask a priest today on Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And if you have a question that's appropriate for a priest, with both hours today, we have one of Earth's finest priests. I don't know priests on other planets, but I would say one of Earth's finest priests. A very, very good friend of Catholic Answers, Monsignor Eugene Morris. Monsignor Morris, thank you for being with us.
Cy, thanks so much. I appreciate the compliment, although it kind of loses its power when you feel I'm the best priest on the... What did you say? I can't even...
I believe I said best priest on Earth. I don't know. I can't remember exactly what I said.
I do appreciate that, but I can think of 10 off the top of my head, former students of mine who are much better priests than I. So,
well,
but thank you for the compliment.
I'll tell you how much of a friend you are around here. Let me give out the phone number first. 888-318-7884. If you want to talk to a priest today, 888-318-7884. You can't make a confession. Well, you can make a confession. You just can't get absolution. But we
That's
prefer
correct.
You didn't make a confession over the air. 888-318-7884. And this is how special you are to us. This never happens for any of our guests. The president of Catholic Answers came in and he wants to say hi to you.
Hey, Monsignor. And Cy, I want to say that compliment about Monsignor coming from you means a great deal because you've actually written about priests
on
other planets, right?
I wrote a science fiction book about it.
In your best-selling novel.
Yes. It is my best-selling novel of all my novels that I've written.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I don't know, Monsignor, if you know about this, but if I'm not mistaken, Cy wrote a book about an ad limina visit from some bishops.
It's in the future, and it's a bishop from Mars.
Right.
Yes, and he's born on Mars.
But he's making his ad limina visit.
And an ad limina, in case anybody doesn't know what that is, that's when a diocesan bishop every 5 years makes a visit to Rome.
And it took him 5 years to get there.
And then he's got to come from Mars. So that's a story about that. I actually wrote that book, Monsignor. Can you imagine the sheer sales of a book about a bishop in space? Can you just imagine the audience for that?
I'm wanting to find it myself. So.
Oh, I'll send it to you. I got stacks of them.
No, I was going to say it was the proceeds from that book. That's how we built this new studio, right?
Right,
Monsignor.
Right. This is an $11 studio.
I'm gonna get out of yours in size way, but I just want to take this opportunity to make a public thank you to the radio department of Catholic Answers. These guys and girls, ladies, and assistant producer Marie there. Darren and Brandon Manderson on the cameras. They've been coming into the studio every day. They've been keeping their social distance. They've been wiping down all of the equipment and keeping it clean. They've got the hand sanitizer there and everything. But they have a backup plan. So that if we're no longer able to use the studio, if things become more difficult than they are, Catholic Answers Live is going to be here live with live calls. And we're not going anywhere, folks, because we know this is a time. And Cy, you know, people need, they need comfort in this time, but they also need an hour or two where, look, the headlines are going to be there.
Yeah, when you get back.
Right? When you get back, there will be plenty of coronavirus headlines on the Drudge Report, and you can go and check all those out. But for the next 2 hours, we're going to talk about the eternal things here, and we've got a great guest to do it. So thank you very much to the Catholic Answers Radio Department, and folks, we're here for you.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much for those kind words. I really appreciate that. Monsignor Eugene Morris is a priest of the Archdiocese of St. Louis, and he has all kinds of degrees from the Pontifical Athenaeum of St. Anselm in Rome and a bunch of other places. Josephinium. If it ends with ium in Rome, he went there and got a degree from it. Monsignor, you're also the leader of the traditional Mass community in St. Louis. Is that the right way to say it?
I'm the rector of the Oratory of Saints Gregory and Augustine in St. Louis. We are blessed in St. Louis to have several communities that celebrate the traditional Latin Mass. So I am the rector of the diocesan apostolate. So I have been for almost 2 years now. So I know some of my people are listening, so I got to give them a shout out. Thank you to all those who are listening from the oratory right now. They have been great, great supporters of me particularly, but of the oratory, and especially in this I say the time of crisis, but I don't know if that is a way we want to describe it. We can maybe talk about that as well. But they've been very grateful, very supportive, especially in prayer. I really have appreciated the promise of prayers that they have given me, and I know they deliver. So it's good. And I want to echo what Chris said, because I know this is true of our Catholic radio station here. This now more than ever is when we need this apostolic Catholic Answers Live, Catholic radio, if you have it, where you're listening, and hopefully you are, because you are listening, or if you're on the internet, but just because of the, not only because we need mediated communication, but especially we need to be able to get away from the hysteria oftentimes created by the secular media and focus on those things that are going to be true, that were before, that are true now, and will remain true after all this is passed. So I just want to say thank you as well.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you, Monsignor. 888-318-7884, our number. 888-318-7884. If you have a question about the Catholic faith, you're welcome to call with that. But often when we have a priest such as Monsignor with us, if you have a pastoral question, if there's maybe something you'd like to know about your prayer life, something, a family life type question, sacramental life, those are all welcome. Maybe you have particular questions about the ability to receive or the inability to receive sacraments now and what your options are, you're welcome to call with those questions. Pastoral, theological, whatever you got, any kind of question, welcome for Monsignor today. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I don't know. My wife and I, it was at 10 a.m. here on the West Coast. I don't know if you got to get any of the adoration with the Pope this morning. And then I guess it wouldn't have been morning for you, but it would have been noon probably.
It was.
And then the blessing. I found myself very moved by it.
It was. Do you want to start with a prayer?
Pray? Yeah, sure. Thank you, Monsignor.
No, you're welcome. Thank you. You're in charge, Cy. I'm just following your lead.
Thank you for that, maintaining that illusion. I appreciate that.
Let's just pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Gracious Father, we thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon us, most especially the gift of the mystery of the cross and the suffering that you're allowing us to bear now through the mystery of your Son, who has conquered sin and death by the shedding of his blood and the gift of his body. Give us the strength we need to carry all of our crosses well, knowing that if we die with Christ, we will live with him now and for all eternity.
Amen.
And we make this prayer and all of our prayers through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much, Monsignor. I found
you are welcome.
The image of the Pope out there at the on the steps of St. Peter raising the Lord and blessing the world with the flesh, the Lord embodied there. It was very, very touching. I felt very reassured by it about the love of God for everybody.
It was powerful. I was actually in tears when I first, because I was over at church ringing the bells, because we were asked, I think it maybe have gone worldwide, asked to ring the bells to call everyone to prayer at that time. So when I came back and watching it on my computer, and I came in at the moment where they had just panned, they were standing behind the Holy Father as he was facing the Via della Conciliazione and giving his address before he went in for exposition and benediction, and to see a completely and totally empty St. Peter's Square, and to see him kind of standing there, not kind of, seeing him standing there in the midst of that, it just kind of brought tears to my eyes, not only because of the situation itself, but then also, you know, the beautiful, powerful image of the Supreme Pontiff, in the midst of all of this, you know, in this place that oftentimes is bustling, there's a lot of emotion there. And then obviously moving there into a time with our Eucharistic Lord, I mean, it was an extremely powerful experience.
And the time of adoration, it felt like adoration to me, even though the physical distance is so far. I mean, is that a theologically sound thing? I mean, just my wife and I alone in our living room, it felt like adoring the Lord.
It's been an interesting conversation. I've been teasing this out. I entered into an email conversation with someone who was asking that very thing in light of televised masses and the issues of grace and things of that nature. Obviously, we know that, you know, the sacramental life and the sacraments themselves require, you know, face-to-face human contact.
Yeah.
And that goes back to, you know, the whole Old Testament that we pray with our whole body. So we need to physically be present. But There has always been the idea and the understanding of spiritual communion, because the church has understood there would be experiences where people could not, for whatever reason, be physically present or commune with our Lord through the act of receiving. And so, in this day and age of mediated communication, certainly I think we can create a space in our homes that allow us to create a space in our hearts and our lives, whereby then we can enter into these forms of mediated communication and experience an intimacy there, being drawn more deeply into the Lord. We know we want to be at Mass, and we know we want to physically be in the presence of our Lord, but if we are impeded, which many of us are right now, then this not becomes second best, becomes another way for us to be with our Lord.
I was very grateful to the Pope for doing it. It just felt like a moment of real comfort and spiritual closeness with people all around the world. I mean, especially knowing what Italy has gone through. I mean,
yes,
it's just really horrific. And I don't know if you've ever been to Italy, but it's lovely. Wait a second. We were just there together a few months ago.
Oh, you were asking me that question. Seriously, I thought that was a rhetorical question.
No, I was joking.
No, and actually, you know, I mean, as you're saying, having been in that very spot, both of us together,
yeah,
almost in that exact same spot where he happened to be standing and giving his talk, not at that same moment, but being able to sit and to know this is a city that is never, ever, even in the wee hours of the morning, is it ever that empty to view that street, particularly leading up? I mean, it conveyed the seriousness of what is happening in the world, but what's happening in Italy, and then also bringing to bear the I would say the greater truth, and that is God's providence is still very much alive and engaged in directing all of this. I can't tell you I understand everything or I know everything, because I don't.
Right.
What I do know is the most important thing, and that is God is still in charge.
Amen. I'll tell you what, just a minute ago, you said I was in charge. Just literally just a moment ago, you said.
in this particular dynamic.
I guess there's a difference between primary and secondary causes, I think.
There are.
I'm going to get to your callers. Thank you so much for your calls. But there are a few lines open. If you have a question for a priest that you would like to ask at this time, you are welcome to call. We have a wonderful priest with us, Monsignor Eugene Morris from the Archdiocese of St. Louis, 888-318-7884. Our number, 888-318-7884.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession, and when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Monsignor Eugene Morris, our guest this hour. Our number, 888-318-7884. And Monsignor has been kind enough to offer 2 hours to us on this Friday afternoon and evening. And lots of folks will get to talk to a priest in this time where you might want to really be talking to a priest. If you have a question about your prayer life, about your sacramental life, about anything that you might want to ask a priest, as long as it's appropriate for radio, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Monsignor Morris, why don't we head to a call and then we'll chat a little bit more as we go. I'll use up the whole hour talking to you if I don't move to calls, because I enjoy your company.
And I as you as well, my friend. Thank you.
Anonymous is first. Anonymous, are you there with us?
Yes, my own.
You are. Your question for Monsignor Morris.
All right. So I'm actually just supposed to, anyway, as long as the coronavirus passes over, supposed to be coming into the church this Easter. And one thing I've struggled with recently is talking about being more open about my faith, and I'll explain a little bit about that. I came into the
Hello?
I think he left the church. I think. Are you still there with us?
Hello, you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we lost you for a quick second.
We lost you there, yeah.
So you,
sorry about that.
You were just about to tell us the details of why, the difficulty of sharing your faith.
Okay, so yeah, like for most of my life, I was kind of a hardline atheist. And so it was, I've always been kind of like against religion. And so now being in it is kind of, it kind of feels strange for me. It's like a cognitive dissonance, I guess. I just want to find out how I might get past that.
Oh, I think, well, I'm stumbling a little bit because I'm not sure you would, how would I want to phrase, I'm not sure I would phrase it that way necessarily, something to get past. I think it will eventually happen when you become more comfortable with your Catholic faith. And all of us, when we're all called to evangelize, there's no doubt about that, but we all do that in different ways with our different gifts. And that's not to say that we're not called to defend the faith, because we are. So anytime the faith is under attack, we should not sit quietly but respond with charity to those particular situations. But this is all new to you. And as you said, your background also gives an added layer, if you will, to the newness. Not only are you becoming a Catholic, you're becoming a Christian. You're accepting not only, you know, the fullness of faith, but the belief in the reality of God himself. And so, in one sense, the learning curve is kind of steep for you. There still is a lot more to learn, a lot more to know. And with that knowledge, there will develop a degree of comfortableness in witnessing to your faith. I would say at the very beginning, though, one of the things you can do, I think, would be extremely spiritually profitable to everybody, believers and especially non-believers, is to talk about your journey, actually, how you arrived at the point of, hopefully by God's grace, coming into the church at Easter time. That doesn't require the witness to the knowledge of the faith, just to the power of God's grace to transform hearts and lead you from this one place kind of darkness and confusion to this place of light and truth. So concretely, because I like to talk, but concretely, patience with yourself, allowing that patience to create an opportunity to grow in a greater degree of trust in the Lord, knowledge of the truths of the faith. And then that same trust will, when the opportunities present themselves, let you know what to say and how to say in defense of the faith and kind of opening up and sharing your faith with others. Does that help?
Yeah, that sounds great. Now, if I could just have one more question, though, if that's fine.
Sure, that's fine.
All right. It's related. I just want to I've looked into a couple of different saints, Augustine and St. Peter, St. Paul, rather. That's especially kind of helpful for me. Is there any other saints that I might look into for like, inspiration?
Oh, well, I think you probably found St. Augustine inspirational precisely because of the manner in which he had lived his life before, in that radically kind of away from the Lord, and obviously that process of conversion for St. Paul as well. I would say off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone, not because there isn't anyone out there, and Cy may be able to fill in those gaps in terms of who can help, because I think part of the reason why they're helpful to you particularly, and this is why relationship with the saints in some ways is very personal, they, in a sense, are speaking to and kind of involved in your own experience. And so they're two men who underwent, you know, very profound and radical conversions and then became really instrumental. I mean, not really, and I sound like an adolescent girl, instrumental into the life of the faith. I mean, obviously, St. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, and St. Augustine, the doctor of grace. I mean, those are two wonderful men to have in your life and to see them as inspiration. So I think as you move closer to initiation, I would stay right where you are with those two men and let them continue to guide you.
Those are some pretty heavyweight intellectuals. Are you attracted to the intellectual side of the church?
Yeah, that's actually how I got into it.
Where you get nowhere but down after those two, maybe, although Aquinas, I suppose. But I'd have to second what Monsignor just said. What extraordinary saints you chose. What's the word you're getting on whether you'll be able to receive the sacraments at Easter? Have they said anything?
So the faith formation team has said that we're going to receive the sacraments, but I haven't heard a definite plan. I'm waiting to hear from the priest to find out what's going to go on at Holy Week. So we'll find out.
Now, I would assume, and Monsignor, you could help me here. You don't have to wait until the next Holy Week.
No, categorically not.
Okay.
It's one of the confusions sometimes that has come about as a result of the RCA program that we can only initiate or bring people into the faith at the Easter Vigil. That's a beautiful time to do so, and of course it's fitting and proper. But in the history of the Church, that hasn't been the only time. As a matter of fact, there are swaths of the history of the Church where it was happening not only throughout, but on other days as well. So the shorter answer is no. If for some reason, wherever you are, so here in the Archdiocese, it's been communicated to us that there will be a delay on the reception of the sacraments because Holy Week will still be under the mandated suspension of public masses. But the exhortation immediately followed, that we would do that as soon as possible once we resume kind of normal activity. So the shorter answer, no, you don't have to wait. Actually, I hope they would not make you wait for a whole other year.
Yeah, it's anonymous year, though. I'm sure Monsignor had, because this is what he does. But it had not occurred to me that there are probably thousands, tens of thousands of people around the country and many more around the world who are getting ready to be fully received into the Catholic Church in just a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that in many places there's a sense of letdown. We'll certainly pray for you.
Yes.
And I'm sure many people are praying for you right now, as a matter of fact, as they hear your story. And God bless you. Maybe let us know when you do make it in. I'd love to hear from you and hear how everything went. Would that be all right?
Yeah, I appreciate it. I don't mind. Wait, if I have to wait till next year, I don't mind. I'm set on this. So.
Oh, God, that's wonderful to hear. What strong faith. That's wonderful to hear. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, and thank you for the questions. I hope that they were helpful to you. Our number here is 888-318-7884. It's Ask a Priest today. And we've got a wonderful priest, Monsignor Eugene Morris, a priest of the Archdiocese of St. Louis, here with us. And if you have a question that is appropriate to a priest, you're welcome to call. By the way, you don't have to be Catholic to call. You don't even have to be on your way to becoming a Catholic to call. Lots of people would like to ask a priest a question, and this is your time. If you are, maybe you think of yourself as far away from the Catholic Church as you possibly can be, we'd still like to talk to you. As a matter of fact, you might be more fun. I don't know. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. I'm going to go back to the callers, but Monsignor, I'm noticing something on Facebook and I don't know if people are saying these things for you, but several people are writing about how this Lent, with all these difficulties, is the holiest Lent they have ever had. About how they feel so close to God. One person saying, I never could make it to daily Mass because of business, but now I go to daily Mass by watching on TV every day. I guess the spiritual side of this is different than the physical side.
Yeah, the short answer is yes, and I do think it has provided people a chance to kind of reassess the things that we find important. Obviously, we have to work and kind of, support ourselves and feed and clothe and all that good stuff. But to have the opportunity now, I think for a lot of people to pull away from that, as hard as that is, and obviously all the repercussions that are real for people, especially people who may have lost jobs or have been downsized and there's concern, those are all real and true concerns. But then it also has provided the other opportunity, that is, well, let me go a little bit deeper, and now actually I have the time to actually do that. So, and hopefully that will continue whenever this abates.
Up next, John in Bloomington, Illinois. John, your question for Monsignor Morris.
Yes, thank you, and thank you for everything you do for the Catholic faith. I had a question, if you could clarify for me, about invincible ignorance. My entire family was born and raised Catholic, and I have a brother who has left the church and gone to an evangelical church, even become a minister in that church. And so he obviously doesn't have ignorance of the Catholic Church and its doctrines and teachings. What does that imply toward his salvation? Is it just invincible ignorance as it applies to people that have never heard of the Catholic faith and of Jesus Christ, or does that apply to people that have left the church?
No, it and this is always a very difficult subject to discuss because he does have obviously clear knowledge of the Catholic faith and therefore has clear knowledge of truth. Invincible ignorance has normally in Catholic theology applied to those who are ignorant of the message. So basically pagans or infants, obviously, who would know, or those who have not yet had an opportunity to hear the faith, as opposed to invincible ignorance.
Monsignor, do you want to hang on a quick second? Just finish that up on the other side? Okay, because we got the music playing. Thanks. Hang on, John. We'll get a conclusion to that answer when we come back on the other side. Ask a Priest is our topic today. All lines full, but they'll open up as we go. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at catholic.com.
Hi, this is Cy. A brand new episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, is available now. Check it out at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This week, we talk with Jimmy Akin about whether Catholics diminish the Word of God with our emphasis on tradition. It's a common accusation. How much truth is there to it? Check out this week's conversation with Jimmy Akin and get access to past episodes at CatholicAnswersFocus.com. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884, our number. It's Ask a Priest today, and John in Bloomington, Illinois, has remained on the line with us asking about his brother, who left the Catholic Church to become a minister in an evangelical Protestant church, and he's concerned about the prospects for his brother's salvation. And he frames that, John, if I'm getting this wrong, you can just straighten me out. In terms of invincible ignorance, is it possible that his brother is invincibly ignorant, that he needs to be in the Catholic Church to be saved? Did I get that about right, John?
Yeah, it's exactly right. That's okay. Exactly my concern.
All right. Monsignor, you wanted to continue your answer?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the difficulty is, I'm getting a little bit of an echo. I know we've got all this technology going on. John, can you still hear me?
We're hearing you fine.
Yes, I can.
You probably got a loop there.
Perfect. That's all that matters. So the difficulty is, actually, it's really not a difficulty. It's not an easy thing to hear, maybe, and therefore making it a difficult thing to say. But invincible ignorance would not apply to him because it only applies to those who do not know and have either no hope of knowing or no opportunity to know. And the fact that he was raised a Catholic – And then as you describe every step of the way, it wasn't just someone who's kind of fallen away through kind of laziness or indifference. He made a conscious choice to leave the church and then engage in something that was antithetical to that. Yes, we have to, you know, rely upon the Lord's mercy, but clearly by his actions would have separated himself from salvation.
Yeah, that was my fear, and I keep trying to, you know, I have discussions with them, difficult at times, but I'll keep trying. It's all I can do.
Indeed, and I, you know, this is, as I've gone older, realizing, because I have similar issues in my own family, it's not, again, it's not an easy conversation to have, because underneath that also is really kind of a, there are two things that I think oftentimes are theological realities that are not at the forefront of people's minds. One is really the nature of salvation, that there is, you know, heaven, hell, and purgatory are real places that actually exist. And so you can go to hell. And the other one is kind of a misconception of the Lord's mercy, that basically we can do kind of whatever we want. And because God is merciful, we'll then be kind of excused from that. And neither of those misconceptions or misunderstanding of those theological realities is obviously not beneficial, and it's actually harmful to people, because, you know, people say, well, I'm, you know, I'm following my conscience, I'm doing what I think is right, and, you know, God will reward me for that. Again, on God's part, there might be certainly some recognition and mercy there, but he has made it very clear to us, you know, how salvation has come about, and that is through the Catholic faith. And you could even make an – well, no, that's a different conversation. So I would say, yes, obviously pray for him and then continue to engage him in conversation, you know, and hopefully bringing about some clarity and understanding as to what, you know, the issues actually are. Does that help, John?
Okay, I'll certainly continue. Yeah, that's concerning, obviously, but I'll do my best.
Yes. God bless you, and I'll pray for you.
Thank you, Monsignor.
You're welcome.
Thank you, John. It's Ask a Priest today on Catholic Answers Live. Priest with us, Monsignor Eugene Morris from the Archdiocese of St. Louis. And up next is Kim in Delton, Texas, listening on the EWTN app. Kim, your question for Monsignor.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Hello, Father.
Hi, Kim.
My question, married for 35 years, and my husband walked out on me and my 18-year-old son. This was 7 years ago.
I'm sorry.
And as you can imagine, yeah, it's been pretty tough. Anyway, but my faith brought me through, and I know how important it is to forgive. And I have forgiven him, even though I can't forget what he did, and that's really painful. Don't know why he did it and how he did it. It was especially cruel. But am I obligated to go to him and tell him I forgive him? Because honestly, he doesn't think he did anything more than get a new car.
Oh, he doesn't understand. You're saying he doesn't grasp the severity of what happened. So
he's lacking denial, and he's very pleasant. I haven't seen him in 5 years, and we'll text every once in a while, and we're all pleasant.
So,
I just want to make sure
Monsignor understands, just because we are having a little more phone trouble. But so your husband left you and your 18-year-old son 7 years ago. He did so in was a cruel manner, and you want to forgive him, but do you have to forgive him if he doesn't understand the gravity of what he did? But now, Kim, you said, do I have to go to him and forgive him? Is that your question, or is it?
No. I'm saying, do I need to tell him that I forgive him?
Okay.
No, not for forgiveness to be operative in the dynamics of forgiveness, no. I mean, I think if you at some point in your future felt, you know, to bring about maybe kind of an emotional healing for you as a result of what he did, you would want to convey that to him, or for your son, certainly. But no, you're not, you don't have to go to him to tell him that. And again, this is not again, but sometimes we the dynamics of being forgiving and giving forgiveness, precisely as you describe your husband, he doesn't think he did anything wrong. So you going to him is not going to be necessarily helpful for him, because he doesn't think he needs that forgiveness. What's important is for you, and really for your relationship with the Lord, as you've said, it is with your faith that has given you strength to come through this, and then also for your son as well, so that the whatever anger and hurt that he and your husband inflicted upon you, to actually allow that to heal for you and for your son. So I think what you are doing and what you have done is really quite beautiful and is a testament to your faith and the power of grace. And that's all that needs to be happening, and to continue to allow that to happen.
Kim, how's that?
I don't want to be scrupulous, but I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't leaving anything out, because it's been a journey, I tell you. But if it hadn't been for my Catholic faith, I would be a mess. I would be an absolute mess, but I'm okay.
Well, praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Kim.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big part of the point of faith, is to make us less of a mess. I think that'd be right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. And to give us, you know, solid ground upon which to stand when we find ourselves, you know, in difficult situations, the one that Kim described that she was in, the one we're in right now, our faith is there for that, for other things. Yes. But for that as well. So that the Lord is the one upon which we rely. And I appreciate Kim's testimony, because it, again, it's just an affirmation that what God has said to us, which we know is true, actually is true, that he will care for us. He will provide for us everything, even in the midst of something bad. There is goodness there because of who he is and his control over the world. So I don't want to describe it this way, but I find it exciting, because it's just yet again testament to, you know, how wonderful grace is and how solicitous God is for us, because he loves us.
Kim, thank you. Thank you very
much. Thanks, Kim. I'm sorry.
Let's go to Bruce in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on EWTN online. You guys could have just visited with each other. You didn't have to call. Both of you call in here. But Bruce, your question for Monsignor.
Hello, my friend.
Bruce, how are you?
I'm actually out on the interstate. Would it be wrong to ask a priest if we could attend their private mass?
No, it would not be wrong. So there's no right or wrong attached to that. I would just say, as a personal difficulty, it puts him in a bind in a way, because then the question becomes, you know, to whom do I say yes? Or if I reject this person, why not this person? So I know a number of us have talked about and have kind of brainstormed, how do you do that? You know, how do you say yes or no? And I have elected to basically not say yes to anybody, so that I don't have to offend anybody or leave anybody out. However, I still do have servers present, and sometimes that requires family members, because they drive them down. So there have been other people present, but it's not as if I'm picking, you know, this day to have this group or that group. Having said that, if there's a priest that you know of, maybe who doesn't have anyone to celebrate with him, or asking him is not going to be, there's nothing wrong with that. Just be aware that it might bring some anxiety, if you will, for him to say, I can't, because he might want to, but then saying yes to you means he may open himself up to having to say yes to a whole host of other people as well.
Do you know how to serve Mass, Bruce?
No.
Oh, all right. I get the feeling that this actually, what Bruce is doing is asking you right now, Monsignor, can I come over? And the answer is no, Bruce.
That's kind of why I answered the way I did, just in case. So, yes.
All right. Well, Bruce, thanks. It's tough times. I mean, I know quite a few people for whom daily Mass is their habit. And, like my father is a daily communicant. And I remember I asked him, does he feel something every time he goes to Mass? And he goes, no, but I do if I don't. And
that's beautiful. Isn't that nice?
Yeah. And so I think that's the way a lot of people are feeling right now. Bruce, we'll just have to leave it there. I hope that was a satisfactory answer. But we got to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Before I send you off to the break, our School of Apologetics has two courses up now. We've got the original course with Jimmy Akin, the introductory course. And now we've got a course on morals with Trent Horn, and it's 50% off until March 31st. It's called the Stuck at Home Special. I don't know that that's right, that that's what they called it. But okay, well, they called it the Stuck at Home Special. That seems to be emphasizing the negative to me. But still, you get 50% off, and it, they're great courses, really well done. I think you won't be disappointed. Take Jimmy's course, and if you're satisfied, take Trent's. How about you do it that way? Because I know you will be satisfied after you take Jimmy's course. Just go to schoolofapologetics.com, schoolofapologetics.com, 50% off the apologetics courses until March 31st.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. And so I got desperate because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. As he is wont to do, Monsignor Morris has come to our rescue again and agreed to do a couple hours with us. And what I mean by that, he rescued us because our chaplain, Father Hugh Barber, the wonderful Father Hugh Barber, got ill. And we weren't able to take him to Rome with us in November. And Monsignor Morris, it's not easy for priests to make arrangements and get out of things and come to Rome with you, but he did it. And oh my goodness, did we get wonderful feedback from people, people who didn't even have a nice thing to say about any of the Catholic Answers folks who were on, but they loved Monsignor Morris. So you were a great chaplain. And then you went to the Holy Land after that.
I did. I came
with Rose.
Home. I did. And that was actually, I have to say, that was probably one of the best trips that I have taken in my life. And actually, it really did begin with the Rome trip. And I've said this, I can say this live now, but I appreciated going with you guys because Chris showed me places in Rome that I had never been before. I'd never really done kind of ancient Rome, early church Rome.
Yeah.
And so there were parts of the city I had never seen, and it was absolutely incredible. To follow that up then with the time in the Holy Land was absolutely superb. So this 2019, 2020 were just great, great experiences for me. So,
and Rose Sweet is a good friend of ours here. She's I don't know how it is to travel with Rose, but you had a bunch of couples and it sounded like
it was great from start to finish. There were no glitches or anything of that nature. And our tour guide was just a wealth of not only kind of just historical knowledge, but a wealth of faith as well, scripture, and just really brought things alive to me in a way. This was only my second time to the Holy Land. My first was in 2008, so it had been obviously 12 years since I had been. And maybe because I'm a little bit older and a little bit wiser, I was able to appreciate it better. So, and thank you to you guys for Father Hugh is a great man. I feel woefully inadequate filling in for him in any capacity. So I'm honored and really, truly happy to be asked. So I'm happy to pinch hit.
Well, I don't want to say this in a blaming way, but you did all those world travels and then you came home and the world got sick. I'm not blaming you for this. I don't want you to take this personally, but come on, man.
I know. Hopefully not cause and effect.
Okay.
Thanks, Si, for asking. I'm doing well. My health is great. Thanks for asking.
Oh, man. He just hit me with that old Monsignor Morris sarcasm. I thought you only used that on Father McConey.
Really great. Thank you.
Oh, man. I'm going to calls. No, enough conversation with you. Don't worry, callers. He'll be nice to you. Even if he's mean to me, he'll be nice to you. 888-318-7884 is the number. It's Ask a Priest this afternoon. And the priest we have with us is Monsignor Eugene Morris of the Archdiocese of St. Louis. We go now to Pamela in South Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Pamela, your question for Monsignor Morris.
And what an intro and what a blessing, because I spoke with Chris Check recently and I got, and now today I get a double shot of Cy and Monsignor Morris, because this is Pamela, as Chris says, the contortionist photographer from the Rome Pilgrimage.
Oh, hey, Pamela. Thank you for all the photographs.
Oh, yeah. I love getting both to know both of you. Your company was so enjoyable, Monsignor Morris. With you, Cy, you were really truly on pilgrimage, you and Missy, and I hardly got to see you. I do see pictures of you in my photographs, and you're always the serenely one, serenely before the Blessed Sacrament with your scarf, and you're just, I'm like, wow, he's on pilgrimage, and I'm so busy running around taking pictures.
Well,
you had it right.
Actually, everybody told me to avoid you, Pamela, so that's what I'm only kidding.
Well, you had the warning at the convention, right? The conference in San Diego.
No, I was just teasing you. I'll try to be better company next time, though. But we did have a wonderful time, and I really am grateful for all the photographs. They're magnificent, and it's really nice to have them. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, and I'm so grateful that we were there before this broke out. I feel so bad for those people who plan maybe a lifetime trip, and there they are. It's canceled, or they were stuck there. But anyway, my question, I subscribe to daily emails like Crisis Magazine and LifeSite News, and they present the articles for reason to continue Mass. And I even read the other day a bishop that said, we put the safety of the faithful first, and shouldn't it be the salvation of our souls? And I know that it must be an incredibly difficult decisions that they have been making, our bishops, and I pray for their wisdom every day. But I'm just heartbroken, and you know, the Tanzanian president I just read yesterday said, we will continue to keep our churches open and we will not, you know, get sick from receiving the Eucharist. And I just, to me, it's a matter of faith. And while it's still legal, I wish they would continue to have Mass for. So I just wondered what your thoughts are on that, Monsignor Morris.
Pam, how are you, by the way? You well?
I'm doing well. I consider you a friend. I just think so highly of you. I really enjoy you.
How's
your son? To make sure I didn't get behind.
How's your son? Is he home?
He's home right now. He's taking an all-day exam.
Okay. Tell him I apologize. Yeah. He'll know why. Tell him I apologize. We played phone tag for a little bit and then lost contact with each other. So tell him I have been praying for him. So.
Thank you, Monsignor. I will tell him that when I walk out the door. I'm loving having him home. So,
well, I'm sure you are.
There are some good things that come out of this.
So your question is probably the question of, at least for us as priests, has been the question that we have fielded the most as to how to respond to this. And I have found myself, I won't say vacillating necessarily, but I can appreciate both sides. My response has been, when I have been encouraged to continue to celebrate Mass publicly, has been to want to be obedient to my ordinary. So the question, I think, although some people have tried to argue this point on canonical lines, is not whether or not bishops have the authority to do what they do. I believe they do, and I believe the law gives them that authority to regulate the sacraments. The question is, should they have done this? Should especially the bishops in our country, the majority of them using or siding with the wisdom of the state or working with the state in trying to respond to all this, should they have done that, or should they have taken a different tack? And as you're saying, there are articles being written that said, no, we should have taken a different direction. I'm not sure I necessarily disagree with that. I do think, obviously, history makes very clear the times when the church has been extremely bold and powerful in the midst of epidemics, pandemics, things of that nature. But for us as priests, particularly, and when all is said and done, we've been given a legitimate mandate that we have to follow. And if indeed it turns out that they should not have done this, since this isn't passing the buck, it'll rest with those who are given the authority actually to make these types of decisions. And I don't think the majority of our bishops, and I certainly will say this about my own archbishop, I know he did not make this decision lightly. Actually, we are one of the last, at least in our region, to actually move in that direction. So that doesn't answer your question necessarily, and that's because I really don't think there is a correct answer for this necessarily. I could be wrong, but I really do think this was and it remains a matter of kind of very serious prudential judgment. And the bishop is given the authority to do precisely that. And weighing all the goods that are there, they felt, I won't speak with my ordinary because he has been forthcoming as to his decision making, felt that it was appropriate for us to follow the guidelines that were being given to us.
Does that satisfy you, Pam?
It does. I understand it completely. But yeah, there is that element of do we really truly have faith? But I would not want to have to make the decisions that they have made because it's got to weigh heavy on them. So we all continue to pray. And I do miss my daily mass. But you know what? Me and the kids and sometimes my husband, we go to the church every day at 3:00, at least once a day, and we pray Divine Mercy before the Blessed Sacrament. And today we did our Stations of the Cross after that. So, you know, I hope that this makes us cling to Christ even more and long for him in a deeper level. I know it is for me.
Thanks, Pam. Thanks very much. And, you know, I was thinking about the bishops and their decision, Monsignor, and there are a good number of people, maybe seniors or people who are in ill health or in precarious health, who probably wouldn't stay away unless the bishop told them to stay away. Do you know what I mean? That they needed.
I think it's true. Not just among some of our elderly population, our older population, I think true among a great many people who take their faith seriously, but, you know, may also have found themselves, maybe because of the job they have, in contact with the public in a way that, while they themselves may not be sick, run the risk of infecting other people as well. And again, these are all the goods that the bishops are trying to weigh: the care for our elderly population, putting a whole bunch of people together. And again, I just saw an article today that recommended a whole host of things that could be implemented in order for that to happen. But again, I it's a tough, and I agree with you, Pam, it's tough to not be able to offer daily mass for the faithful. You know, it's difficult. It's a heart-wrenching for us here, especially. I'm sure this is going to be true for everybody. You know, not being able to celebrate the sacred triduum, not having Easter.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've been weeping, seriously, copious tears when I think about it, and it's hard for me to talk about. But this is where we find ourselves, and I think I appreciate it, Pam's insight that hopefully this will increase in people a true desire for our Lord, that when this all resolves itself and we're able to return to daily mass and communal celebration, public celebration of the sacraments, that people return, more people return, and all who do return come back with a deeper appreciation, love, and willingness to sacrifice in order to be able to still have the sacraments.
Again, Pam, thanks very much for the call, and thanks for the reminiscing about the pilgrimage.
Yes.
You are not the only person on the pilgrimage who said Monsignor was way better company than I was. My wife said the exact same thing several times about what good company Monsignor Morris is. So, no, don't worry about my feelings. None of you have to worry about my feelings. We're going to take a quick break. I am going to lick my wounds, and then we will be right back with more Ask a Priest with our good friend. I think it's okay for me to say that. Our good friend, Monsignor Eugene Morris, a priest of the Archdiocese of St. Louis. Our number, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Right back after this.